was we reflect upon the last couple of songs. We talked about joy, and there's an emphasis on peace. And how might you have joy and peace in your life? Well, if you're desiring to know that, may we introduce you to Jesus. Because Jesus is a source of that joy. Jesus is a source of that peace that you can have within your heart. He can change your life. He can change this year. And He can change your life for all eternity if you're introduced to Jesus. If you never receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we desire to introduce you and tell you about Jesus. Well, this morning, as many of y'all know, that I do like to have a New Year's Eve and New Year's type of message to launch the new year. And so this year is similar. And so I thought what we would do is look at how we can have success in 2026. So the title of the message is Strategies for Success in 2026. But you know, if you think about it, there's a lot of definitions of what success looks like, right? If you think about how people will describe what success looks like, if you talk to people in the world, they would probably say things like maybe accomplishments in the athletic realm or in their place, their realm of working or service, to climb that ladder of success, to maybe have some wealth and to gain and accomplish all things. And that can be success. But if we're not careful, if we look toward the way that the world defines success, at the end of this life, we will fall short of what truly is success and what God defines success. I think of how Scripture talks about the one who gains the whole world, right, but loses their own soul. How tragic that would be. So this morning, we want to look through the lens of the Lord and what He defines as success, spiritual success, that matters for this lifetime and the life to come. I invite you to look with me at our theme verse this morning, which is Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This is going to be our theme verse that launches our message this morning as we look forward to how does God define what real success is, what is spiritual success, what is of eternal value. And Joshua 1:8 is a verse that sums up quite a bit of how he looks at success. And he goes on to say this in Joshua chapter 1:8. Reminder that this was very important to Joshua as he's going to be looking for success. Following, for example, the example of Moses and such. And goes on to say this in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, that this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success. Do you want to be prosperous? Do you want to be successful? But most importantly, do you want to be successful in the eyes of the Lord? If so, I want to share with you a few steps, strategies, if you will, biblically speaking, that can lead to spiritual success as we launch into this new year. And of course, it applies to every year as well. One of the first steps that I believe that will absolutely be essential to you having spiritual success in 2026 is that you sit at the feet of Jesus. Sit at the feet of Jesus. We have a wonderful example in the Gospels of that very thing, don't we? Of someone sitting at the feet of Jesus. I'm reminded of the story that is in the Gospels that records when Jesus goes to Mary and Martha's home. And in this account, we are going to see that Martha is a busy bee, right? She is busy as can be, trying to be a good host. And many of us can relate to that because we have just had a time of holiday celebrations, whether it be Christmas Eve, Christmas, New Year's Eve, New Year's, whatever it may be, you've had family, you have friends, you have had gatherings. If you have had gatherings at your home, you understand that a lot of the times, while it's a wonderful opportunity to spend time with friends and families, it can also be exhausting, can it? Because of the preparation that takes place in order to be a good host and to welcome people into their home. And usually it falls on one person, doesn't it? Usually the wife of the family. All that pressure goes on to that individual. I can attest that that goes on to my wife, Star, who has a lot of the pressure of hosting and welcoming and preparing for family, friends, and others to gather together. It's a wonderful time of fellowship, but it can be stressful. Would you agree with me on that? This is where Martha is coming from. She, once again, is a busy bee. She is working like crazy. She's trying to tidy, clean up, get everything situated, I imagine. She's trying to be a good host. She's trying to welcome Jesus and the disciples into their home. She's trying to be a good guest. And she looks over at her sister. And she's thinking to herself, you're not even lifting a finger, right? Can you imagine? You're not lifting a finger to help me out. I'm doing all the work myself. She gets a little bit irritated, a little bit frustrated. And she is frustrated that Mary doesn't seem to be doing anything in this situation. She's just sitting around, if you will, right? But listen, as Mary goes and she approaches Jesus, and she is frustrated, she's irritated, she's agitated, if you will. She goes to Jesus, she's going to complain to him about her sister who's not doing a thing, not lifting a finger, if you will. Luke 10, verse 38 through 42 records this account. I want to read it to you at this time. Goes on to say, now it happened as they went that he, referring to Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also, watch this, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Excuse me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. What do we see? The essential of spiritual success is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Was Martha doing anything wrong? She was serving. She was being hospitable. She was welcoming people into her home. She was doing a good thing, but Mary had chosen better because she was at the feet of Jesus and she was taking in the words that he was uttering and she was receiving it to heart. She was taking it to heart. And what are we reminded of? That serving is very important to the kingdom of God. But before we serve, we seek. Let me say that again. Serving is essential in the kingdom of God. Very important. I am so thankful for church members here at our church that are so faithful in serving God and being part of building his kingdom. But let me just say the priority is that we seek God, and that as we seek God, as we sit at his feet, as we take in the word of God, as we receive his instructions and meditate on it day and night, and pray to him and receive communication through reading the word of God and praying to him and sitting at the feet of Jesus, if you will, it's going to launch everything else. Because we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Matthew 6:33, right? And so it is that if we want to be successful in the eyes of the Lord, if you will, this year, we will sit at the feet of Jesus. I want to challenge you and encourage you. I happen to get a new devotional every year. It's a wonderful thing for me. I enjoy a new, fresh devotional. That's what I'm trying to say every year. And so I need to spend time in devotions with the Lord. I need to spend time in His presence. I need to do a better job of spending more time in His presence and sitting at the feet of Jesus. I want to encourage you, will you make that New Year's resolution? To sit at the feet of Jesus in this upcoming year, this year of 2026, this year that's actually upon us as we speak. You see, we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. When we do so, we're going to know the Word of God. We're going to be able to live out God's will for our life. And then we will have the strength to stand firm in the faith. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, right? So you receive it, and then you're able to stand firm in the faith. I don't think I would have to explain to y'all that we are living in a world where spiritual warfare is taking place. You can see it all around you. There is evil forces that are happening, that are taking place in this world that we live in. You are facing obstacles. You have a lot of opposition, if you will, that is coming against you and your faith. So how do you stand firm in the faith? Ephesians chapter 6 reminds us that we deal as followers of Jesus Christ in the spiritual realm, in this spiritual warfare, and we're on spiritual combat, if you will, spiritual war, if you will, and we're reminded of the principles that are laid out for us in how we can stand firm in the faith as we have been in the presence of Almighty God, sitting at His feet, if you will. Ephesians 6 goes on to say this. What do we do? This is it. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. In other words, as you stand firm in the faith, be prepared by putting on the armor of God. You sit at the feet of Jesus, and then as you stand up to go out in the world, you put on that armor of God. You depend upon that faith. You depend upon Him. You depend upon receiving the Word of God. You go to the Lord in intercessory praying for yourself, yes, but praying for your family and your friends and your church family, praying for everybody, because we're all in this together. We're all in this world dealing with the spiritual issues and warfare that takes place in this lifetime. And so it is that if you want to be spiritually successful in 2026, we are going to sit at the feet of Jesus. We're going to then stand firm in the faith because we have sat at the feet of Jesus. And finally, I want to touch on another principle, another step, if you will, that we need to implore this coming year, and that is that we need to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit's flowing and filling within our life. See, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have to come to the point where we understand that we cannot live this spiritual life on our own. We need His help. Zechariah 4, verse 6 reminds us, found in the Old Testament, that it's not by my might, your might either. It's not by your power, my power, either, but by His Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We must rely on the very Spirit of God, yield ourselves to Him, to His guidance and direction in our life, deny that old sinful nature that you and I all battle here on this earth, until we see Christ. We have the new nature that battles the old sinful nature. It's a battle that takes place within our spirit. But we can have victory. We can overcome. We can be successful, spiritually speaking, as we depend upon the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who all believers have received according to the Word of God at salvation. Galatians 5, verse 16 goes on to say, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Got a question for you. 2025 is past. It's gone. Can't do anything about it. Maybe you had good moments in your life. Maybe you had spiritual success in your life, and that's wonderful things. And you ought to look back and rely on those things that made you spiritually successful in 2026. But if you're anything like me, you've probably failed in different ways back in 2025. You failed from time to time. You fell short of the glory of God. We're human, right? But I'm reminded that the Apostle Paul reminds us that we can forget those things which are behind us. And we press on to the high calling of Christ in Jesus. We press on to the prize of that high call, and we move forward. And so as we move forward in 2026, we have a unique opportunity to make a fresh start. Follower of Jesus Christ, whatever worked in 2025 spiritually, incorporate that in your life once again. But maybe there's some new, fresh things that you need to do in 2026 to grow spiritually and to live for Him and to walk in the Spirit. And I would simply say this, that make a commitment to sit at the feet of Jesus, that is so that you can stand firm in the faith as you depend on the mighty Spirit of God. It's a challenge that goes out to you. It's a challenge that goes to myself as I desire, as we enter into 2026, to have a better spiritual year than ever before as we look forward to growing from faith to faith, as the Word of God tells us to do. Do you desire for your faith to be strengthened, for you to be developed, for you to be closer to the Lord by the end of 2026, as you reflect upon this past year? Don't you want to say, this was a good year? I wasn't perfect, but I walked with the Lord. I spent more time in His presence, and therefore I can see that there was benefits. There was some success, spiritually speaking. Don't you desire for that to be this year's plan, this year's New Year's resolution, if you will? Let 2026 be the best spiritual life, spiritual year rather, of your life. For those that are here that have never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we say start at the beginning of the race, if you will. We'll simply say this, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, all of these things that we have talked about is available to you, but you do not have. See, you're trying to live life by your own strength if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. And if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, you cannot have spiritual victory. Can you have success by the world standards? Yes, indeed. You can accomplish great things by the world standards, but you won't have spiritual success. And how tragic it would be if this is a successful year, this year, from a worldly perspective, but not from a spiritual perspective. Don't be the person that is successful at their end of their life by worldly standards, but loses their own soul. And so now we invite you to start fresh. Start this new year with the best decision that you could ever make to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Comes from an understanding that you and I are sinners, that all people have fallen short of the glory of God. And because of that, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That death is, of course, referencing physical death. We all understand that. It's also referencing, more important, spiritual death. Separation from God for all eternity is what it's referencing. But I'm so glad that the verse doesn't end, for the wages of sin is death. It goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we want to introduce you to Jesus this morning. If you never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, will you receive Him by faith, believing that you are a sinner in need of the Savior, asking Him to come into your life and to forgive you of your past and your sins, and receive Him into your heart, into your life, and to receive the salvation, believing that it is Jesus who was and is the Savior of the world. It is Jesus who gives you salvation. It is Jesus who gives you the promise of eternity in heaven with Him. As you admit you're a sinner, as you believe in Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection, and as you confess Him as your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. That will be spiritual success in 2026. As the worship team comes forward, let us go to the Lord in prayer, asking God's blessing upon our time of invitation. Lord, we come to You with thankful and grateful hearts. We who are followers of Jesus Christ are so thankful that You have been with us in 2025. You have promised to be with us in 2026. We are grateful and thankful for that truth, that we can rely on You and that You will never leave us, that You will never forsake us. And so we receive that by faith. We live by that. Now, O Lord, we ask for Your power and Your strength. Help us by Your mighty Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to help us to walk in the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Help us to spend more time sitting at the feet of Jesus this year through prayer and through the Word of God. And may we meditate upon Your Word and spend time in Your presence this year, we do pray. We make, Father, a New Year's resolution that we desire to walk with You this year, to be strengthened, to grow in faith, we do pray. Now, fathers, we have this time of response for the believer in Christ. We pray, O Lord, that we will respond in a way that is honoring, that is glorifying to You. Help us not to quench the Holy Spirit, but to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit as followers of Jesus Christ. We do pray. And then, O Lord, if there is one here that has never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, may they do that today. May they have this day being the best day of their life. For now is the acceptable day of salvation. May they repent. May they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and receive this glorious salvation. Bless this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.